I appreciate Megan acknowledging that this particular Thanksgiving may be challenging to think about what we're thankful for. There have been more than the usual number of challenges for everyone this year. And on top of that, holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas can also be challenging for folks who have lost loved ones who are not able to be with loved ones, as may be the case if you're refraining from travel. But the passage that we're looking at today reminds us, as Megan did, that in Christ, God has given us real reasons to be thankful. We're going to look at a little bit of that. In this passage, the Apostle Paul reminds us that because of what God has done through Jesus, we are chosen, we are holy, we are beloved of God, and that's going to inform how we live our life. Originally, when I chose this passage, I just chose it on the theme of Thanksgiving, and I thought, well, we're moving on from the Beatitudes. But as I dug into it, I realized that this really is a great summary of all that we've done. I said that last week, so this is an even better summary than the good summary last week. Last week, we ended up on that challenge to be salt and light. We talked about how each one of those blessings that Jesus named in the Beatitudes, how those are components that go into blessing the world. And so when Jesus tells us we are to be salt and light, full of flavor and full of witness to God as we live out those blessings, those Beatitudes, this week tells us a little bit about the character, the qualities, the traits of the person who is salt and light. And I hope you'll find it helpful. It fleshes out for us what it means to live out our faith in the world. And it's all anchored in who Jesus says we are, who the Scripture says we are, if we have trusted in God through Jesus Christ. There's going to be three images or metaphors. You may have figured out by now the Bible likes to use metaphors. And tip to the confirmation students, there's going to be three metaphors. So there's three sections to this. Listen for each one to land. And bonus tip, there's a different slide for each section, so it's pretty easy to find. So the first one of those images to help us understand what it is to be chosen and holy and beloved is this image of getting dressed. Not literally getting dressed each morning, but spiritually getting dressed. In verses 12 through 14, the scripture says we are to put on the character of Christ. And how we get dressed shapes how we act, how we interact with others. So, for example, Paul lists these character traits, right? A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Think about a picture, if you will, getting out of bed in the morning. And as you put on your clothes, I realize right now it's pajamas for most of us, right, if we're being honest. But as you put on your clothes, what if each article of clothing you identified with one of these traits of following Christ? As you put on your socks, you're putting on kindness. As you put on your shirt, you're putting on humility or putting on patience or gentleness. That's the image that the scripture gives us, is every day make a conscious choice to dress yourself in the character of Christ. If that's the first thing we do before we see anyone else, talk to anyone else, interact with anyone else, then we enter into the day clothed with those Christ-like traits. And the scripture says the result of that will be that we bear with each other, we forgive each other, we show that mercy and grace that all those Beatitudes we're talking about, right? We are blessing the people we live with, the people we work with, the people we interact with. So if you wonder how to do that, this is one practical picture of doing that. Imagine every day and choosing every day to dress yourself with the character of Jesus Christ, and it will profoundly affect how we interact with folks. So that was the first image or metaphor. The second one is in verse 15. It's the idea of Christ ruling our lives. So Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." What does that like? Well, imagine, I know it's hard as Americans, but imagine a king or a queen, right? Someone to whom we give allegiance, or a word we learned watching The Crown this week at our house, giving fealty. Or it was some other show, they use fealty, but we talked about it. It's bending the knee, giving allegiance to someone with authority over your life. And that's the second image of how we live out our faith. We understand Christ to be the ruler, the Lord. We call Jesus Lord and Savior, the Lord of our life. And this says the peace of Christ will flow through us and bless others. And this is the first place we see the word thankful in this passage, because it says, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and be thankful, suggesting that thankfulness, gratitude, flows out of understanding God, understanding Jesus to rule our life. Part of what I think the scripture is going to answer for us, if you've ever wondered, well, I'm supposed to be thankful, but how do I make that happen? I don't have a thankfulness switch where I can feel that feeling. These are practical ways, putting on the clothing, acknowledging Christ as Lord of our life, that equip us and that result in thankfulness flowing out of our life. So that was the second image. The third one is the picture of Christ making a home in our life, or specifically the word of Christ. That's what he says. Let the word of Christ dwell richly. Make a home, make a life with us. The word, whether you think about that as the words of Scripture or the teaching of Jesus or actually the person of Jesus, it's that idea of each moment of each day, the message, the person of Christ walking with us and living with us. This image goes all the way back to Deuteronomy in the great Shema, where God tells his people to let his word and those commandments, that law, you know, he talks about binding them to their forehead and writing them on the doorposts of their house. It's this idea of God living with us every moment, not, you know, something you go to Sunday and you check in, check your God box, but God walking and making a home with us. That's that idea of dwelling or residing with us. How do we do that? Well, it's all those old standard ways, right? How do you let the word of God dwell in your life? Well, you gotta experience it, read it, study it, ponder it, pray it. And that's how it begins to saturate our minds and our hearts. And again, he says, it will overflow to thankfulness. So we have getting dressed with the traits of Christ, gentleness, kindness, humility. We have acknowledging and experiencing Christ as Lord of our life, ruling, reigning over us. We have the word of Christ and Christ residing, dwelling in our life. Those are the three images. And then there's one more. In verse 17, Paul kind of wraps all this into one statement. He says, and this is, he's getting out of the whole metaphor arena and just into a kind of a sermon challenge. He says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. This doesn't mean just tacking those words on to the end of everything you do, right? The grocery store clerk putting the apples in the bag and saying, there you go, in the name of Jesus. No, it's not that literal. It's the idea of all these, getting dressed, reigning, ruling, dwelling. It's if we do something in the name of Jesus, we belong to him. We're identified with him. We're a part of God's family, which of course God says we are, right? But it's us acknowledging it and living it out. That's everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it pulls together the getting dressed and the ruling and the dwelling. It's claiming, acknowledging, living up to and living into our identity as belonging to God. So Paul ends that statement by saying, we give thanks, again, give thanks through Jesus to God the Father. It raises the questions for me, and I hope for you, who do you understand yourself to be? Right, there's lots of ways we can answer that. I'm Robert Austell Jr., right, the son of Robert Sr. I'm a guy from South Carolina. You know, I'm married, I have three children. These are all ways that we identify each other, or with our work. I'm a pastor. But God says our core identity, the core answer to who are you, is God says you are mine. You are my beloved and you are mine. Back to where we started. You are chosen, you're holy, you're beloved. So who are you? As we more and more see and acknowledge and claim I belong to God, it shapes what we say, what we do. And I think the thankfulness comes when, to the degree, and as we realize more and more who we are according to God and who we belong to according to God. And that is, of course, God himself. So in the face of, you know, all that we struggle with, all that this year has brought to everyone, as well as individual struggles, all that this passage says cuts through all that, because it's not talking about our experiences or what comes at us or what's thrown at us. It's the very core of who are you? And God declares that over you. Right? You're holy and beloved and you're mine. And out of that flows thankfulness. So if you're struggling this week to come up with what am I thankful for, just remember what God has declared is true over you. Even the days you don't remember it or acknowledge it or want it, God declares it over you. Like, you know, when we're hiding or running, it doesn't mean God loves us or claims us any less. It just means we're missing out on this wonderful truth. So may God cause this identity, this truth, to sink into our lives and shape who we are and how we indeed bless others. Because this is the core blessing, right, of God saying, you belong to me.